Today's program was brought to you by Blueprint, the original juice cleanse program to offer different levels of intensity depending on your needs and current diet. For more information, visit blueprint.com. You're listening to heritageradionetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show.
Hey, and welcome to After the Jump. I'm your host, Grace Bonney, and I'm coming to you from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You can listen to the show live every Thursday at 11 or download the podcast on iTunes or listen on Stitcher. Before I get started today, I want to make a quick note because May is our sponsor drive month here at the radio station. Heritage is a membership-sponsored non-for-profit organization, so if you have a second, please check out heritageradionetwork.org for information on donating and supporting the incredible collection of over 30 live shows that Heritage airs every single week. Your donation is tax-deductible and goes to help the team here that puts on incredible content. So if you've got a second, please check out heritageradionetwork.org. So today's show is a solo show that's been inspired by some changes that have happened in my life over the past 4 or 5 months. May is finally here, and when I took the time to stop and look around and think about everything that's happened and how I've pushed through some really big stuff lately, it made me really want to delve a little bit deeper into the idea of being present and using that energy to overcome obstacles and push yourself and your business further and harder than you thought possible. So today I'm going to be talking about raising the bar for your business, trusting your gut, overcoming obstacles, and pushing yourself to do better. And I'm not going to be just talking about raising the bar, but really kind of how to be your own bar for your business and even for your field if you're pushing yourself hard enough. So I want to rewind a little bit and tell you about how I got to this place and why I even realized that I should be pushing myself harder and setting my bar a little higher. And I realized that because I was going through some tough things, and I started to realize that the only way I was going to push through it is if I actually, instead of kind of dealing with the problem and getting scared about it, I actually made myself be better than the problem. Here's what happened. Last fall, the blog industry saw a huge change almost overnight in the way that advertising was handled. After nearly a decade of being able to handle or clearly separate the ads sort of in a church and state way that run on my site from the content, things crumbled. The major networks that sell ads for design blogs like mine decided overnight to no longer sell those really standard ads that everybody's gotten used to and tuned out. Those are those things that blink and are sort of annoying on everybody's sites, and they're at the top and the right side. Those are called standard ads. Those are pretty much flat rate, totally network standard you've seen on every blog, whether it's a lifestyle blog or a food blog or a political blog. Everybody's used to those, and that's how bloggers like me, that's how we support ourselves. We sell those ads, we pay our teams, we keep producing content that's free for everybody. Overnight, most of the big networks decided they weren't going to sell those ads anymore, and instead, they were going to focus on what most people are calling integrated content. Now, I know most people listening probably don't care about the back end of how blogs happen, but it's actually kind of interesting because the blog world is something that, unlike magazines, is changing in such a quick and almost exponential manner that we are having to adjust the way we support ourselves and what feels like almost a bi-weekly basis. And when this happened, it left us in an interesting position because we can no longer sell the regular ads that really allowed us to keep content and advertising separate, which is a big, big thing for me. But it meant that we were going to, what felt like, have to embrace this new method of supporting ourselves, which was finding a way to integrate advertising and sponsored content into the actual editorial content that we delivered on a daily basis. Now, for I think the newer generation of bloggers, this probably isn't a very big deal. But to me, this felt like a death knell of, oh my God, what am I going to do about my blog? How am I going to pay my team? And I really kind of panicked. Things felt like they were flying at us. I had to make a decision really quickly. Was I going to work with huge, giant box sponsors and let them buy posts? And I would say for about a good month, I went into a giant spiral and thought, oh God, I'm going to have to do all the things that I've spent the last 10 years swearing I would never, never do. And I will never forget driving home from a radio show, actually. I've been interviewing somebody and talking about this issue that was happening, and they were saying, isn't it great that, you know, you and your friends have built this site where you can support each other and do what you love? And I was like, yeah, it's amazing, except it's not so easy to do anymore. And we're having to deal with these hard decisions that for me feel like giant ethical decisions. And I was talking to somebody and she said, you know, well, I'm sure if you can figure out a way around it, if anyone could do it, you'll do it. And I started to think to myself, I don't know if that's true anymore. This feels so big and insurmountable. I just couldn't figure out how to do it. And then I realized my mind was racing. Everything felt like make a choice, go quickly. So rather than getting caught up in the panic, I decided to finally do the opposite. I listened to my gut, and this wasn't the job that I ever wanted to do if I had to make that decision. So instead of really kind of getting caught up in how hectic and how quickly things were moving, I decided to slow down. I decided to be present. And when I did, it became much clearer what I needed to do, which was bank on myself and my team. And I think one of the biggest lessons I constantly have to relearn for myself is to listen to my gut and trust that if anyone can do something, it's me and the team that I've built. And I think this is true for everyone's business. This isn't just a blog thing. This isn't just a design sponge thing. This is something that applies to any small business happening these days because the recession isn't going anywhere. We're all dealing with business problems, and advertising affects not just websites and the people who read them, but it also affects all sorts of publications that really enrich the lives of people who care about the creative community. So learning to get through this means that hopefully online publishers won't kind of die the way that we saw print publishing die, but will instead find a new model or maybe sort of a multi-pronged model that allows us to continue to provide free or maybe at the very worst low-cost content to readers who are so used to getting all these ideas for nothing. So as I got through this process and kind of figured out what I was going to do to protect my business and make sure that it was sustainable and continuing to pay the people who work so hard for Design Sponge, I realized I was sort of following a model that I've sort of internally taught myself but hadn't really identified. So I decided to break it out into steps today because I think this applies to not just my business but to anybody's business. The first thing you have to do is really identify the challenge that you're facing. When I was dealing with these problems of how am I going to integrate this content that feels weird to me? How am I going to support myself? Oh my God, do I have to fire everybody and go back to being a one-person blog? Every choice felt wrong to me. It just didn't feel right, and I felt like no matter what I was going to choose, it was probably best to just close up shop and find a job somewhere else. But that's really not an option for me. I'm somebody who's trained myself to always pull myself up by my bootstraps and do it on my own. So I decided the first thing to do was identify the challenge and make a very clear list. Here's what I think you should start with. First, make a list of the challenges you're facing with your business. Write them all down there, from the very, very biggest to the very smallest, and organize that list from what you think is going to be the hardest to the very smallest challenge. Then take a break. Look at what's on that list. This is a really, really sort of be honest with yourself moment. Is there a way you can let any of these things go? This is the place to really understand the concept of saying no, accepting change, and letting your business grow. Here's an example. When I wrote down my big list, I had a couple things that were really about, can I afford to keep team members who were doing sort of smaller tangential tasks like copy editing and helping us format images or helping us with social networking and things that are incredibly important to an online business, but were they absolutely crucial to keeping myself going? And what did they really represent if I let them go? And I kind of mapped it out a little bit and thought about it and thought, you know what, if I just have to suck it up a little bit and do some extra work and push through this tough period, I would rather be able to make a cut there than to have to let a permanent team member go or to have to make a choice about content that felt wrong and felt like I was somehow betraying my readers. So I had to make a big list of problems and then really be honest about crossing some of them off and letting them go and realizing that sometimes when you face a big business challenge, you've got to pick your battles. So when you've made a list, you want to pick your battles and then really look at the fresh list you've got in front of you. When you've got that list, it's time to move on to what I call the educate and research phase. Basically, you have got to know what you know and what you don't know, and then who to ask about it. This is the time to listen to everyone's opinion that you value. You are not going to necessarily need to weigh it any more heavily than your own opinion, but you're really going to need to factor it in as a way to weigh how you address each of these problems. You've got this final list in front of you, all things that really need to be addressed to get your business past a hurdle. So I want you to look at these items and then make a bulleted list under each of these problems with information that you are going to need to gather and research. For example, on my list was a note about possibly being able to support my business by teaching classes. And even though for the design industry, it seems like everyone and their sister is teaching a class, I honestly didn't know the basics. So I broke down that one leg into several different sections of things I would need to educate myself about and do some research on. For example, I had to ask myself questions like, what platforms existed for hosting classes? What options did I have for hosting them on my own? What are the typical class sizes and class prices for each option? What's the benefit of working online versus in person? What types of classes were popular? And how on earth was I expected to promote this outside of the typical blog channels? Then I dug a little deeper, because when you're facing a big challenge, you have to make sure you cover every single base. So when I had this list of things I wanted to look up and really understand before making a choice, I decided that I would email at least 5 people who had done each of these types of classes I was curious about to ask what their experience was, both good and bad. After I had that research, I had a good chunk of information that helped me weigh these thoughts against my gut feelings of what was right and what I wanted to do. After I took that information, I made a decision and came up with 5 different paths that I wanted to use to overcome my business's hurdles. I decided on writing a second book, to teach some online and in-person classes, to consider working on a product line, which isn't happening yet, but is something I thought could possibly be helpful for us down the road, and trying to consider a very small selection of integrated advertising posts that were done on my terms and in my own style. So if you've got a business and you're ready with these choices and you've decided which are the ones that are worth moving forward about and which are the ones you really want to learn about so you make an educated decision, the next thing I think you need to do is brainstorm with a group of people that you trust. You want to get every opinion that you possibly can. It's great to have a lot of options and to have a plan of action, but I think the best way to truly get any of these options to run properly is to really brainstorm and run them by other people. You want to get their input for ways that you can best execute any plan to its best possible version and the outcome that's right for your business. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm somebody who rarely listens to other people's opinions of what I should do. I really have a hard time kind of processing them because for me, I'm such a gut person, and that's kind of how I make a decision. I run with it. And while I appreciate somebody telling me what they think, I rarely take it into action. But when I ran into this hurdle of how am I going to support myself and the people who trust and depend on me to make sure that they can pay their rent every month, I thought this is the time. This is the time to really respect the people around me and the support group that I've built for myself. And if you don't have a support group for your small business, whether you're a blogger or you're a maker of some sort, this is the time to build one. I constantly talk about the idea of how important it is to have people that you can talk to in person to really run ideas and problems and issues by. This is where you go to those people. They are happy to help you and they are happy to brainstorm things. Because honestly, I've found that when I ran some of these possible solutions by my team members and by friends and by people who ran businesses in my industry that I really trusted, they came up with really fascinating spins on basic concepts that I had. I had some people suggest some fascinating classes they thought would be a great fit for me to teach that I never even thought about teaching. And it's because people can look at your business from the outside and sometimes see it a little bit better than you can. So do not be afraid to talk about things that you think maybe make you feel a little bit vulnerable, a little bit scared to share this weakness or this sort of struggle that you've got. And remember, everybody is going to come to this place with their business. You're not the only one. And the more that you open up to these people, they'll feel safe to open up to you. So take advantage of that group. Here's how I see the brainstorming working best once you're talking to someone. The first thing you want to do is match the idea that or the issue that you're having to the right person. So if you want to talk to somebody about possible ways you can teach an in-person class, you need to make sure you're asking a person who has some experience or who might know. That might be somebody who has experience teaching a class, who hosts space and can tell you what to expect for rental costs and things like that. No matter what, make sure you're not asking somebody who you just respect but doesn't have any experience, because it can put that person in an awkward position if they don't really know the best advice to give you. The second thing to do is explain exactly what you need from somebody and then compensate them fairly, or at least try to respect their time. This is kind of an issue that's rampant in my community right now, which is people kind of asking other people to bend their ear and kind of, you know, can I rack your brain for some ideas about something? And really valuable advice is worth something, whether that's hiring somebody to consult, whether that means doing a trade for something, or whether it means just really respecting somebody and believing that they're going to give you that advice. And if they say yes, they'll help you. You respect their time, you listen to what they say, and then you tell them how much you appreciate them and write them a thank you letter. No matter what you do, when someone's helping you in a bind, really, really take the time to tell them how much you appreciate it and help as much as you can. Really ensures that bridge you have only gets stronger and not weaker from you needing some help from them. The next thing to do is write down and respect everything they say. This is not a chance or a place to fight back if somebody's giving you advice that you don't immediately trust, or not that you don't trust, but that you don't like. And a lot of times when you're consulting with somebody or brainstorming with other people, they might give you ideas that you think are crazy, that aren't right for your business, and you can kind of have a gut reaction. This is not the time to disagree. Just nod, write things down, and really appreciate that they're taking the time to give you their two cents. The last thing is, don't be afraid to ask follow-up questions. When you're talking with somebody, you really want to make sure that you are fully understanding everything that they're saying, every option they're describing, if they're listing companies or projects or things that they think are similar to what you want to try. If you haven't heard of them, don't just shake your head and say yes. I used to do this all the time, and it is the dumbest thing that a business owner could do. And I was always afraid that if I admitted I didn't know some cool thing or some business name, that I would seem like an idiot. But really don't be afraid to do that. So if someone says, oh, you should totally check out Kickstarter, and you've never heard of Kickstarter, do not be afraid to ask what it is, ask for the URL and for some basic information. It's so much better to be well-educated and understand the information someone's giving you than to just nod and assume that everything's fine. So I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about casting a wide net of opportunities to help yourself rise above a challenge.
Blueprint is the original juice cleanse program to offer different levels of intensity depending on your needs and current diet. Designed to purify and detoxify, Blueprint Cleanse is made from the freshest 100% raw and USDA certified organic ingredients, cold pressed to retain nutrients and flavor. Blueprint also offers a line of organic juices, cold pressed and raw, in a variety of fruit and vegetable combinations and available in individual bottles. Blueprint Cleanse is available at Whole Foods Market and many other retailers across the U.S. To learn more about their line of organic cleanses, juices, and other products, visit them today at blueprint.com or call them at 866-774-6831. That's 866-774-6831. Work hard, play hard. Cleanse, repeat.
Hey, welcome back to After the Jump. I'm your host, Grace Bonney. And before I dive back in, I just want to remind you that all of May, this is our donation drive to support Heritage Radio Network. We are a non-for-profit organization, and everything that you donate is tax deductible. And it keeps the wonderful range of over 30 live shows that the network produces every week going, and helps keep us offering great free content to you to listen to every day. So if you have a chance, please visit us at heritageradionetwork.org. Check out all of the donation options and the great shows that run here every week. So today I'm talking about raising the bar for your business, how to really trust your gut, how to overcome the obstacles that naturally happen with every business, and how to push yourself to do better. So before the break, I was really talking about how to identify those issues, how to get advice on moving past them. And now I want to talk about, after you've got that list of things you think you can do to push past a problem, really what you do with that list. The first thing is to not be afraid to cast a wide net. Now, you've made a very big list of things, hopefully, that can help you get through your problem. You've gotten advice from friends, you've gotten advice from peers, and you might have a list of 20 different things that you want to try. Maybe you're a maker and you want to try wholesaling, and then maybe you want to try doing licensing. Maybe you want to have some pop-up shops, and then maybe you want to visit some live markets or other things where you can sell your goods directly to people. There might be a bunch of different things you want to try, and this is the place to not be afraid. I think a lot of times when people are placing really, really big issues, they kind of fall back into their safety ground. And I know I do this constantly. If there's a problem, I go back to the same three places of how can I push these areas a little bit further. But sometimes you kind of wear out a section of your business or a section of yourself. And if you go back to those safe places over and over, they're not actually safety nets anymore. They're places that just kind of get worn out, and they're not the trusty solutions you think they are. So this is a place to really kind of be smart about, I'm going to give everything a shot, and I might uncover a source of income or a branch of my business or a new collaboration that I didn't even know was possible. So what I think you should do is really not be afraid to test out a wide range of things. When I was talking about the four or five different things I was trying out personally to make sure I can sustain my business outside of the realm of advertising all the time, I really kind of cast the net wide. And I really got serious about doing that because I realized not all of these things are going to come back at the same time. They're not all going to be profitable at the same time, and they won't all be possible to do right away. So if you've got a range of options, really, really embrace that and don't think that you're being scattered or that you're trying too many things. When you've got a problem that's big and your business is sort of, you know, in a serious situation, the best thing to really do is to have your hand in as many different opportunities as possible. So you've got that wide net. I also think it's good to make a plan B. Now, this is not because you're setting yourself up to fail. It's because you're a practical business owner, and some of these ideas may not work out, and it's good to have something that you know will work in a pinch. For example, I'm a blogger. I've always run ads on my site since the first year and a half that I was open, and I always know that that's something I can go back to, even if it's not what I want to do to get going. So really make sure that you plan out a plan B as a last effort. I think sometimes people get excited about trying different things and they forget to kind of stick to stuff that is keeping them going in the meantime. And so no matter how many exciting new things you're pursuing, never, never forget to keep what's supporting you currently moving and going. So for example, if you're a small scale maker and you're making ceramics and you think one outlet you'd really like to try to support yourself is a TV show, do not abandon the ceramics business that you have or the Etsy shop that you currently have or any plans to be selling at a fair. Keep those things going. I know it's hard to juggle trying new opportunities and maintaining a day-to-day business, but it's really one of those things you have to push through. So make a plan B. The next thing to do is really be bold and be brave and gamble on yourself. When you're kind of pursuing that wide net of opportunities, the thing that I find that people are most scared to do is ask for what they actually want. When I was in the office the other week, I was talking with Amy Azzurrito, who's my coworker, and she was telling me about this sort of movement that has been around for a while called rejection therapy. And the name alone gives me chills because I hate rejection. I'm scared of the idea of therapy for my business because it makes me feel like something's wrong and something's broken, but it's not. It's a wonderful idea. And the more that I read about it, I realized how much this applies to not just me and people that I know in my industry, but to anyone running a small business, no matter what it was. Because I think particularly when you're up against something difficult, you can be afraid to ask for exactly what you want. And that doesn't mean just a particular avenue of trying something new, but really kind of pushing that to the furthest place possible. For example, when I was thinking about, oh, would it be interesting for us to consider as Design Sponge doing a product line of some sort, I immediately in my head thought, well, no one's going to want to do that with us, and we probably won't be able to sell anything, and we're small scale, so how could we possibly sell enough of it for really be profitable? And I had to really calm myself down and think, what's the worst thing that could happen? I write up a proposal, I hand it to somebody, and they say no. What do you do? Is that going to stop me? Absolutely not. I'm going to do my research and I'm going to have lots of names of different people I should be talking to and move on to the next one. I think so often small businesses are really stymied by the idea of hearing no, even just one time. And it can keep you from really sort of pushing your business as far as it needs to be pushed. So this is the place to really consider being brave and betting that if anybody can make your business do well, it's you. So really don't be afraid to push things far, and if you've got an opportunity you want to try, whether it's a book or a TV show or a new product line or starting a new blog or a web series, do not be afraid to aim for the absolute perfect version of what that is. And at least if that doesn't work out, you're at least falling something short of your absolute dream and not the sort of realistic basic version that you've set up for yourself. Here's a way that I sort of inspire myself to keep doing this and to gamble on myself. I really like to look for examples of people that inspire me, people particularly who don't sort of compromise when it comes to themselves. My favorite example of this is Bill Cunningham, and I'm not sure how many of you have seen that incredible documentary, and I think I've mentioned it like a dozen times on this radio show, but if you haven't seen the documentary about Bill Cunningham, who's the on-the-street photographer for the New York Times, please, please do. He's a wonderful example of somebody who really was not willing to compromise his vision and compromise what he believed in for his work. For a long time, he worked and didn't even get paid to do what he did, which I know isn't an option for everybody, clearly, but it's a really extreme example of how if you really stick to your vision of what you love and hold true to it, it really will work out if you're smart and you're a hard worker. And that's exactly what he's done since day one. And when I feel like I'm up against a wall or I'm being forced to make decisions that just don't feel right to me, I really go back and I watch that documentary or I read some interviews with Bill, and it kind of reminds me that People like that are the ones who set the bar for me and inspire me to push my bar a little bit higher. So take some time to do some research and read into people that you find inspiring. It doesn't even have to be somebody within your own industry. It can be somebody who works in a completely different field. But if it's somebody that something sort of strikes a chord in you and reminds you that's what type of person you want to be, or that's what type of business owner you want to be, keep that in mind and constantly go back to it. Because that's really the place you need to push yourself back that. Push yourself past the problem that you're having. I'm going on about 3 hours of sleep, so please excuse me if I stumble. I have a new puppy, and sleep is a very rare thing for me right now. So we're talking about pushing past that point. Once you've got that list of opportunities, you've talked to people, and you're starting to move forward, I think the next important thing to do is to take the time to look at yourself rising to the occasion. This is something I am really believing in for myself in a very big way right now, which is to take the time to stop, be present, and look at what you're doing and look how it's working. And look for the really kind of small signs of improvement and of success that are really easy to overlook and show you that you're moving on the right path. A lot of times when you've got a problem or a challenge and you pick a solution and you're moving forward with something, if you don't get to the ultimate goal right away, like if you want to write a book and you don't get a book deal and that week that you have the idea, you can feel like you're a failure, or it can feel like something's not working out, or this is a sign that it wasn't meant to be. Never, never buy into that negativity. Look at the small ways that that one decision to invest in yourself has improved your business. For example, last year when this started happening, I wasn't really talking publicly about how the ad network had changed and how it made it difficult for bloggers to support ourselves, primarily because I didn't know how it was going to shake down. And I really didn't know if people would be interested in hearing about that, because I really don't believe in kind of complaining publicly about things if you can avoid it. And so I wasn't talking about it, but I was really dealing with how difficult it was. And my initial decision was to really downsize my team and to focus on writing the site in a very different way, and to kind of get a core group of members who were only based in New York that I could work with face to face, and focus on having an editorial schedule that let us work ahead of time and maintain a certain level of quality of content without sort of the same giant group of people who were producing things. And it was scary, but the first few days that we kind of rolled out this smaller team, different approach, we started getting really interesting comments and emails that were rolling in that were saying, hey, I really like now that XYZ is happening, or I like that you guys are responding to emails more quickly, or I like that you're responding to comments, or that you're writing content that's more personal. And that sort of stuff really was kind of like buoying me in the meantime and helping me stay afloat and helping me remember that even though we were working longer hours and we were exhausted, that people were taking notice and that this change was starting to have a positive effect. So don't forget to look at those small things. Those small changes along the way are really the signs you need to keep yourself moving in the right direction. And it doesn't matter if it's not actually customer feedback or feedback from someone in your community, you need to look at the ways it's positively affecting the way that you see yourself. A lot of times I see small business owners make decisions like deciding to move into licensing. And the first thing they see is they maybe get rejected from the first licensing agent they talk to, and they immediately quit and decide that's not for them. But what you need to do is see that maybe that person said no, but maybe they took the time to write you back and suggest someone else that was a better fit or give you some tips. It means you're moving on the right path. You're doing the right thing. You're making progress. You're not just giving up on your business. And that is an incredibly important thing to remember. So please, please, as you move forward, do not forget to keep those things in mind. And really, don't be afraid to write them down. Don't be afraid to write them down, put them on a piece of paper, and tack that right above your computer. You need a daily reminder that the decisions you're making are positive and that people are noticing them. And when you get to move forward a little bit more and you start seeing these things change in a bigger way and not just small steps, you're going to see yourself in a much different way. And I've started to feel this happen for myself. And it's inspired me to not only raise the bar for my business and expect more of myself and of the things that I do at work, but how I treat myself as a person as well. When I had this challenge with the business and felt like I was going to kind of be up against a wall to either sell out and run a bunch of posts written by McDonald's or fire everybody and try to find a new job, I decided I was going to make this a giant challenge for myself personally. And it was going to force me to see myself not as a young person running a weird online business that people don't always understand, but to really kind of see myself as an adult. And even though I'm almost 32, in a lot of ways, I still see myself as a kid running this business that I started when I was right out of college. And I know I'm not alone in that feeling. A lot of business owners, especially if they're sort of in the small maker category and you're selling an Etsy shop, we can feel like we're kind of this, you know, ragtag group of kids who are making stuff and flying by the seat of their pants and just so excited to be making things they love and somehow supporting themselves. But I think there comes a point in every business owner's life where they face a hurdle and realize, if I make it through this hurdle, I'm not the kid I thought I was. I'm an adult and I'm a confident business owner. And really giving yourself a challenge and rising above it, I think, is a great concrete way to see yourself in a different light. And that's exactly what I did. Even though my business is not exactly where I would like it to be, and I'm still dealing with the advertising challenge, getting through these hurdles and being able to mentally get past the place where I thought I didn't know how I was going to make my business survive made me feel like I was so much stronger than I even knew that I was. And it gave me the confidence to do things in my personal life that I didn't even know I had in me. For example, the puppy that I mentioned earlier that I adopted is something that I have been thinking about for years. And I'm someone who believes so much in animals and animal rights, and I've really wanted to be able to expand my tiny animal family with a new one, and especially a rescue that would have special needs, because I feel like my particular job leaves me in a position to be able to help an animal like that in a really good way. So I applied to get a dog. I didn't think I had a chance, and I don't think my parents thought I had a chance either, and they thought, you know, this is so different from having a cat and having this life where you can really kind of set your own schedule and come and go as you please. But there was something about seeing me with a dog at 6 a.m. walks and all the not fun parts that come with having a dog as well. I saw myself as an adult, and I think sometimes that's people can really identify with that feeling, because if you're somebody who does something that's maybe a little bit unconventional or outside of the norm, finding ways to see yourself as an adult and as a capable and a responsible person, they're really important to keep you going. And when I got my dog and adopted her and brought her home and was able to immediately rise to the challenges of taking her to water therapy and taking her to the vet and all these 4 a.m. walks and all the things that come with that kind of different change to your life, I felt like a grown-up. It was probably the first time in a long time, and I realized where I was 6 months ago when I faced this initial challenge, and it was just me and a cat and a small team of people, to where we are now, which is a small team, but still confident and strong and embracing bigger projects that we probably never would have had the guts to face if we had not been kind of pushed to that place by a challenge. I was so proud of how far we had come, both as Design Sponge team members, but also just as me, as Grace, as a young person living in the city who starts to see herself as an adult. So I really hope that this concept of raising the bar for your business and also for yourself is something that resonates with all of you listening. Even if you haven't had a big challenge in your business yet, they're always out there and they're always looming. And they're not always the scary things that we think they are. They might be the challenges and the little bit of push that we all need to really get to the next place with our business. So I hope if you've listened, you've gotten some ideas and maybe some tips to push past that, to really take advantage of the network of support that you have and see these as opportunities to be a bigger, better, stronger business owner that you always knew was inside you, but now you'll really get a chance to see come to light. So thanks so much for listening. I will be back next week. And don't forget to check out heritageradionetwork.org to donate to our wonderful nonprofit station. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.